Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to another episode of Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today I'm happy to bring you guys a great guest. He's been doing real estate for like 20 years, even though he looks 25. And he has a best-selling book out. It's called How to Create Wealth Through Investing in Apartment Buildings. Victor Bell, how are you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great, Andre. Thanks so much for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on, man. I'm excited to actually get to talk about what you're doing in real estate. And briefly, we talked about, you know, similar things that we do as far as pretty houses. So we're going to dive into that. But first, let everybody know your background, how you got into real estate, things like that.
Sure. So first, like everyone, I guess maybe not like everyone, I'm starting to get a better understanding of that. So I got into real estate really on purpose because I needed to make something work. So like you and I were talking about, I left home when I was really young and then naturally kind of floating around, got kicked out of high school, went back to high school, and then I joined the Army, got out of the military, and then I went to college in Texas on that free money that I said, hey, you know, you go to college for free. Yeah. And after the first semester meeting with my counsel, they were like, hey, if you come back, you're going to owe us money. And I was like, oh, I thought this was free. And they're like, no, you actually have to perform. So, you know, after that, not in college, and I ended up getting in trouble. I got started hustling. I got busted. I was on probation and I had to get a job. So I went to a couple of jobs and I got this one job and I was working nights in Austin. Mm-hmm. And driving back and forth one night on the way, that morning, because I work overnight. So that morning driving back home, I ended up falling asleep, drove off the side of the road. I had a good realization as I went home, you know, and then woke up and had to do it all over again. I was like, dude, I got to do something else. Mm-hmm. So I went to the bookstore, Hastings. I think all the Hastings are closed.
And if
you're listening to this and there's still a Hastings in your town, move.
Seriously.
your town's behind. But and I was looking, I sat on the floor and I was looking at all these books and I was like, all right, you know what? Real estate, that's, you know, business section, real estate. And I found the book Fast Cash with Ron LeGrand. And I was like, okay, pulled that book out, you know, because it said Fast Cash, really. It wasn't even about real estate. Mm-hmm. And that first year I did $1.2 million in deals. Mm-hmm. That's how I got started. So, mm-hmm. you know, but the bigger tipping point for me was going to that job and realizing everybody who had been at that job for 10 years hated it. They didn't want to be there either. And I was new and I already knew like, hey, this isn't where I want to be. So I had burned all those bridges, you know, which was the backdrop story about how I got started. Didn't do good in school, burned that bridge. Didn't stay in the military, burned that bridge. I dropped out of the college after the first semester, burned that bridge. And all of a sudden I had felony charge, burned that bridge. And now I'm at a dead end job. Like, where was I going to go next? Right. So, you know, it was actually at the time, it didn't seem like it, but it was a blessing for me because I had to make something work. I think that's probably the key to anybody that's listening to getting started. If you treat real estate as an opportunity, then you can be successful. But if you make it a must, it will work.
It's funny, man, because a lot of people that I have brought on here, a lot of times people think that people that got money just so happen to just get it passed down to them. Or it was inherited, you know what I mean? Or something like that. No one that I brought on this podcast has just came from money. And so you have a similar background to almost everyone that I bring on the podcast. And it was through education. So obviously education is the main or the common denominator between everyone who's came on here who has become successful. So it doesn't matter your background, like you're saying. So I appreciate you for bringing it up, man. And you going and hanging out at Hastings, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day when there was way more stuff to get into, you know, in my opinion, that wasn't on the upside versus kind of like right now with technology kind of changing those things. So I like it, man.
Yeah, for sure.
So you know, to give people an idea of, you know, how much money you've done in real estate, he's already done like $59 million in real estate across 7 states. How do you do that? Because a lot of things that we talk about in the InvestPart app is helping people invest remotely. So how did you get into being able to do $59 million in transactions across 7 states?
Well, so I did a lot. I did in Texas because I started in Texas, right? And then I moved back to Hawaii because I was stationed in Hawaii when I got out of the Army, went back to Texas, and then went back to Hawaii. So naturally, I did stuff in my own backyard, and then I did stuff in Texas because, again, that was my backyard. That's my big advocate. If anybody reads my book, they're like, where do you start? Like, start in your own backyard. So, and then I did what everybody else does. I chased money, right? As an investor. So it's like, I made a little bit of money and I'm like, oh man, let's start buying in Ohio. And then they started buying in Ohio at the last market cycle. And, you know, truth be told, unlike other people and the information everybody has access to now, I didn't know it was a market cycle. If something bad happened, I just thought it was happening to me. So, you know, so I was doing what everybody else did. Hey, let's go to North Carolina. Let's go to Georgia. Let's look in there. Let's go to Vegas. Like if you've been in this business for any extended period of time, the same markets that are up today in the up markets is where all the money rushes to because they're chasing lower price markets, which I tell people don't do that. But that's how I did it. I kept buying residential properties, multifamily properties. I did dirt with buddies because I'm not a developer, but I partnered with those guys because I'm good at tying up the deals and then I find investors. We did mobile home park. We did a retail property, but primarily multifamily and residential property. That's houses, townhouses, condos, things like that. So I've done a lot of deals as well as I partnered and structured a lot of deals with other people because I'm extremely I'm like a little kid still. I'm just excited about what I do. So I tend to be like, people meet me and they're like, man, how do I partner with you? What do I got? I got, to your point, they'll be like, I got this money. And you know, that's something everybody should know. When you understand the deal, you understand deal structure, or you still have like a good attitude about who you are as a human being and about what you're working on, people like to be a part of that. So that's really how I did the $59+ million worth of real estate, because I just kept doing deals. Again, it's very different when somebody can do one or two deals, but they're also working. I'm not saying anybody should quit their job, but what I'm saying is, like, when you are looking at this as an opportunity for growth and taking care of your family and building a future and making wealth a duty instead of just a choice, it becomes very real. It really does.
I want to piggyback off what you just said. And I talk about this all the time. And if you guys have read The Real Estate Investing Diet, I talk about it in that book, using other people's money. I brought on a guy last week called Pete Reese. He land flipped. He does land flipping. I think he did $1 million in the first year. You talked about doing $1 million in real estate in your first year.
Yeah.
Please explain to people how you can use other people's money, because you just said, hey, I bring the deal to the table and you got somebody who has money and they come up to you. Elaborate on that, because we talked a little bit about syndication before we hopped on the call, but explain to people how you can make millions of dollars in real estate without ever using your own money.
Got it. So like when I talked about that first year doing $1.2 million in deals. So when I got that book from the store, I went to the store, I went, you know, to my job at night, I would set the book on the desk and then I would have the newspaper. I would cold call using the script from that book. Right. And I eventually got somebody in the for sale by owner section of the newspaper to say, yeah, sure, do something. I was like, oh man, I don't have this money that I promised that book says. So I end up, the book also said to cold call mortgage companies and stuff and lenders out of the phone book, right? And there was a little script in there. And I basically just took the phone book and I cold called all the numbers. I got from the A's to the S's in the phone book and Austin Yellow Pages, which was like this thick, before I got somebody to actually say, who are you? You don't even know what you're doing. Because it was Bob. Bob's like, how'd you even get this number? And I was like, I cold called all the numbers in the Yellow Pages. He was like, really? He's like, come into my office. They own a mortgage company, Bob and Jamie. Jamie's actually my investor relations manager now for Bell Capital. They were like, yeah, come on in. And I told them what I was doing. I told them about the deal that I found. And they actually work with Ron LeGrand. You know, we call it the traveling circus, going around and selling courses and stuff, because they did note buying and creative structures and all this other stuff. But they had a mortgage company. So he actually became one of my business partners and he introduced me to other money partners too. So to your point, I had the deal and then they're like, hey, we have some money. We can probably fund all these deals and we'll just partner. So it didn't take any of my own money. It didn't take any of my own credit. I didn't have any. So I was really, to negotiate the deal on the phone, I was like, hey, not only will I do this deal with you, but if you teach me what to do, I'm going to do it the way you tell me. As a matter of fact, if you teach me, you'll think you did it. I'll wipe coffee stains off your desk. I'll cut your yard. I'll do whatever it takes, but I just really want to learn. And for anyone who knows me, you guys know I don't cut my own yard, and you know I won't wipe coffee stains off anybody's desk. Like, so for me to offer that, it was like real to me. Like, I was willing to do whatever. And he was like, you don't have to do that. Just come in. So for people out there questioning that, especially nowadays, I think people have a bad, I mean, and I go through this too, right? Because we have that little voice inside of our head. They make using other people's money bad.
Correct.
But, well, you should use your own money. Well, that's the dumbest. Oh, I was going to say a bad word because I cuss a lot. But that's the dumbest thing that you can consider. All real estate, if you're going to do any real estate, let's say, because all of our deals that we underwrite and look at are anywhere from $30 to $50 million apartment buildings. Those deals are made up of two things, debt and equity. And that equity comes from institutional capital, life companies, retail investors. They all come from other people's money. And the debt side is also other people's money too. Like, that's, you know, pension funds, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Any type of capital that comes from debt funds, banks, all that stuff comes from there. So for people in the smaller space, going to seminars, doing, being in groups, online stuff, that poo-poo on that because they think you need to have all this money, credit, and using other people's money is a scam. Dude, those people will always stay broke.
Correct. It's a misconception that's floating around, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's two things. It's a miseducation. It's uneducation. I don't think people do enough research to know, right? I've talked about it a bunch of times where if you find a good deal and there's someone with money, someone's going to always take that deal. If you can bring somebody a deal where they're going to make 25 or 30 grand, if you wholesaling, right, you can wholesale a piece of paper for five, 10 grand. That person's going to make a lot of money. He doesn't really care how much money you make if he's going to make $25,000 or $30,000. Right. So the deal always is, you know what I mean? It's like the meat in the potatoes, right? It's like, it's the main course. If you have the deal, you can go to pretty much anybody at any real estate investment club. Even now, you can go on a meetup group and chat and say, hey, I got this deal. Someone's going to want to buy that deal.
Right. I mean, think about going to, we've all been either prom, didn't go to prom, but we all know what prom is. You need two things to go to. You need a date and you need a prom. Like, exactly. That's like people saying, oh, you should never go to prom with someone else. Like, you need the other piece.
Correct.
Right. And it's the same thing with real estate. You know, even to do a creative financing deal, it's still money. Like, everyone said, like, oh, no money down deals. Like, well, first, there's no money down deal. Even a promise to pay somebody is money, right? So that's all money is. It's a promissory note. So even in those deals, you're just still using the other person's future money, current debt to structure the deal. It's still other people's money, capital, debt, whatever, even with the promise to pay them in the future. It's all the same thing. But to your point, miseducation or no education, people have poo-pooed on it, especially when you have so much doubt out there in the marketplace. Like, I tell my team, we're responsible for people's mistrust out there. So if somebody has a mistrust issue, we need to take responsibility for that to show them, hey, here's how this works, guys. But yeah, you're absolutely right. To create what we're creating out there, to be able to go out and raise money from other investors, we're doing them a service. We're doing them a favor. Like, money wants to make more money.
Correct.
Right. And if guys like myself and you are out there and we're like, hey, we've actually paid the time, money, and energy into putting together a vehicle, whether it's real estate or like I have a real estate fund and you want to invest, and we are going to be good stewards of that capital and build on that and make you more money and also build a business and making ourselves more money. Man, that's probably the most noble service I know, because the banks aren't doing that.
Exactly, man. And it's like you, money chases money. So if you guys are willing to put in the sweat equity, it's in essence, it's the same thing. Like, if you have a business, you're paying someone else the sweat equity. So you got to do that on your own. And take your sweat equity, take that deal, and find somebody who else willing to pay you for what you did. It's really the same thing.
That's right. That's right. And real estate's a money business. You know, everyone. Right. I mean, it's a solid asset, but it's truly the trading of capital.
So, with you having this background, being in real estate since 1990, you've seen multiple market cycles. And right now, like you said, you didn't know about those, but now you do. And right now, we're coming up on a market cycle. We're obviously in a recession, or I think we are, but people say we're obviously going to be in a recession if we're not in one right now. So what's your ideas on how people can make it through and weather or the coming recession or the recession that we're in?
Buy everything you can get your hands on. Because, I mean, like I said in the beginning, when I started this, I'm just like, I'm just going to close a bunch of deals. And I just use my strategy of whether it was a no money, go subject to deal, creative financing, raise money from investors, get financial partners, get the debt, get added to the loans on multifamily, whatever. Hindsight 2020, and I'm sure you guys can agree, or you can agree, if you look back on your life, just say 5 years ago, all the stuff that you thought was too expensive, you were like, dude, I wish.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wish I would have bought it, right? Hell, I tried to buy my apartment buildings that we sold in Hawaii back at the new price because I'm like, dude, it's still a good deal, right? It was a good deal then. It was a good deal now. So for all these people that are like, oh, the recession, and maybe you should wait. I'm like, yeah, you can wait. I mean, now's the time to do two things, be persistent and be disciplined. Like, so persist on the right deals, which is, you know, to that point, we moved here. I went after a couple of deals and I couldn't get them. And I was like, man, okay. And I went after my old investor pool and they're like, oh, we got to get this return, that return. So I started to have to re-educate these guys. I'm like, look, guys, that world's dead. You can let that ship's already sailed. Here's the new space that we're moving into. And I tell people, I'm like, you're going to have to invest bigger, nicer deals. Here's why. With the cycle that we just went through, and I won't even call it a cycle. Let's just say, you know, because market cycles are people making decisions.
Correct.
People change their minds all the time. So with all, and we'll stick to multifamily because it's kind of been my focus. All the deals that people got that were like these renovation deals, value add deals, they were getting debt really cheap. They fixed those properties, right? They have a responsibility now to resell those properties or refinance those properties and pay their investors back. Because let's say they promise their investors a 3-year, 5-year, we're going to give you all your money back plus X amount of return. So for all the people who are running around looking for beat up fixer uppers, first, a lot of those things got fixed, right? So even your C properties are kind of now based on renovations and stuff like that as it relates to a classification. Maybe they're closer to a B. So if your model is still, hey, you know, I'm going to go to these lesser properties and buy them and fix them up, it's already been done. Those guys already did that. So you're going to have to look at this new market cycle. It's like you need to raise your level of assets, which means you may need to raise some more money. Or you're going to have to invest with somebody who's focused on going to the next phase over this next cycle. It's like I said, people are going to make decisions over the next 10 years and you need to be able to play the new game, not this old game. So people are already not spending money, right? Talking about the recession and, you know, this, I don't think the market's crashed. I think it's corrected. I think it's right back where it was when we started. That little blip that went up, it always comes back down, but it never goes back down to where it was. It always continues to ride upwards. So as it relates to how do you ride that out, get better properties, be more persistent with the properties that the new level of properties you want, and be extremely disciplined in what you buy. Buy something with an intention that if you had to hold it for 10, you're willing to do that. Kind of, you know, that old saying, people say, well, you can buy any property because you don't have to live in it. Well, what if you wanted to? What if you had to?
Exactly. Right? What's your standards for living? Yeah,
exactly. And no one gets into real estate. I mean, you correct me, Andre. Did you get into this business and say, you know, I'm going to buy the worst property in the worst neighborhood. I'm going to fix it up and rent it out. Like you did it. You were like,
no.
Who owns that monster property across the street with the waterfall and the gate? Like that's really what you
want. Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's never been so easy right now than to figure out, okay, there's enough information that everybody knows what's going on. We're now no longer oblivious. I can either invest money with somebody who's doing it, which I think that's going to be the only way to get good deals coming up here the next 5, or you're going to have to learn the creative financing game. You're going to have to go to nicer properties in nicer areas, just like I look at gated communities, beachfront properties, properties that the average person can't afford to buy, but they're easier to get creative financing because the seller is like, I don't care, whatever. Long as you pay, I'm fine. I'm doing something else because they have a business or they have a company. Or, you know, they're a high level executive and it's like a second, third property for them and they just have money sitting.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish I could get into real estate investing? You can change this as quickly or as slowly as you want to now. Imagine yourself networking and making new connections in real estate globally, or buying an investment property in a market or country that fits your needs. People do. They know what I'm talking about, and now you can too with InvestFar. Connect and join the network. Remote investing made safe and easy.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that really quick.
Sure.
It's funny because we hopped on the phone. I know you do apartment investing, but we talked about pretty houses.
Yes.
And we talked about the economy slowing down. One thing that I think is going to happen, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you do this as well. I think that people are going to, we might have not a foreclosure crisis, but people are going to go into foreclosure. People are going to start losing their home because they're going to start losing their jobs. If a person can't get into a multifamily property and buy an apartment complex,
right?
What's your idea about taking properties subject to, considering the cycle that we're coming up in for the next 5 years? I think it's a good deal, especially if someone might not have $20,000, $30,000, or $40,000. Maybe they have, you know, 15 and they can go out there and get a property and pay the arrears and take it over and sell. So what's your thoughts on that? What do you think the economy is going in regards to people who don't have multifamily money to do pretty houses?
Right. 1,000% Like, I mean, we do them too. Like I said, like if, I mean, I have a team for it, you know, we have somebody specifically hammering those people. Right. So we get on the phones, we call them, they're pre-foreclosure deals. And I tell this to people all the time, like, what would you rather? Wait till you have to show up to the foreclosure auction with 600 grand or a cashier's check with 10% of the winning bid, which is 60 grand. Or you just go and talk to the person that's in pre-foreclosure. It's a pretty house, doesn't need any work. Maybe they're four or five payments behind of $2,000. You have 10 grand, you bring it current, and then you take the property subject to, and you either turn around and resell it because you have the time, or you put a lease option tenant in there for extended period of time, depending on what state you're in. So it really just depends. Well, to your point, that is viable. The thing is it goes right back to what I said, that to me, that business only works if you're dealing with nicer properties.
Correct.
If you're dealing with a beat up fixer upper and you're trying to now bring it current and then turn around and fix it up, kind of it's a different noose around your neck. You want to have nicer ones. And I think the reason why people don't like subject to deals, because they're still trying to wholesale and flip. And what if we get it under contract and take it over and then turn around and flip it to somebody else? Like, you can do that. That's still the fast money game. But to your point, I think buying nicer properties and holding on to them and saying, okay, this is an asset, we're going to hold on to this thing, it's a part of our balance sheet, we have a tenant in there, maybe there's no equity in the deal, right? I think more of that's going to happen than not, right? So let's say somebody, like one of the deals we did, well, that one had a lot of equity. Like, you know, like 300 grand. But yeah, let's use an example of one of the other ones we did. So that person, you know, it was like 700 grand. They bought it 700,000. They put down a small amount of money because it was like 3% down, and they needed to sell quickly in that deal. And I budget 10% cost of sale. So, you know, if it's worth 700, let's deduct $70,000 right off the bat. Now we're down to, you know, what's that, 630? There's no money in that deal. I'm going to have to keep that property for a little bit until the equity comes across. And some people are like, well, there's no equity in the deal, why do you do it? I'm like, it's a free house and it's nice.
And you only pay 10 grand for it, right? So you know, right, what I mean? Something like that.
Right. And in that deal, nothing. You know, so
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know. So there's a big difference. And I think that's going to be more evident because you have people now that are younger that put down a little bit of money and maybe they have to move. Maybe something happens to them. They have a really nice house, really great neighborhood. And if they have to sell with a realtor and they got to hold this thing for 3 or 4 months because it is taking a little longer, hypothetically, depending on where you're at, that may deter somebody. And having somebody say, hey, guys, look, this is what we can do, right? That may be valuable for people who are like, look, I can't get into multifamily and I'm going to do the residential game, which, you know, I do the residential game and multifamily. And that's what we're describing is exactly how I do residential. As a matter of fact, if I can't do it that way, I say no to those deals because I'm not interested in doing renovation and wholesale and assigning contracts.
Man, I'm telling you, man, that's a big deal, man. Even if, like you said, the house doesn't have any equity in it, if you can get someone to do a lease option, they put $10,000 down, boom, you got that money. And now they're in the property. They're probably going to be in there 2 or 3 years and they're going to pay that mortgage down. More than likely, if someone's been in a house 5 or 6 years, they have at least brought the mortgage down somewhere. So there might be a little bit of equity, unless they did a refinance. But nonetheless, you can sit here and hold on to this deal and you don't got to worry about doing anything but carpet and paint. I flip houses. I try to do pretty houses as well. I do the whole thing. I think we both talked about this. Real estate is real estate. A good deal is a good deal. If you know numbers and you know you have buyers, then you know instantly we're looking at a property, what your exit strategy is going to be. So you don't throw any deal away. Even if you wholesale and make 10 grand, you still made money on it, right?
Right.
So I think that people should look at it like, oh, I can't be a multifamily investor, but I can do this until I get to that level. You know what I mean? And all of these make money. Multifamily, obviously, you make money because it's commercial. You can do tenant improvements and things like that, but you can do the same thing because doors are doors. Whether it be a 40 unit, whether it be 40 units, or 40 houses. It's kind of the same thing, but you know what I mean? The maintenance might be a little bit different, but if you don't have that big money, if you don't want to put the equity in and going out and getting, you know, syndicating deals, I think pre-foreclosures and pretty houses is the way to go, especially in the coming cycle. Mm-hmm. And even if you get 5 or 10 in this cycle, maybe one of those, you might be able to get a deal that has 30,000 in equity, whatever the case is, but you still are building your portfolio out for less the cost.
Right, right. I always tell people, man, just go do a deal.
Just go do a deal. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Analysis paralysis is what a lot of people. And so you've been doing this for a while. So I'm curious, when you talk to someone, don't you know within maybe like 10 or 15 minutes or at least 2 days if they're going to do a deal, or are they just someone BSing with like, oh yeah, I'm going to do it, and they never get to it?
Yeah. You know, I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You know, I try to be like, hey man, go do this. And I, you know, I'll throw up on people. If you ask me, how do I do it? And I'm going to throw up on you at the table because I really do want people to succeed. Exactly. And but to your point, yes and no, because I think in the beginning of my career, a lot of people thought I wasn't going to do anything too. And those people don't even have a business anymore and I'm still going. So, I try to not put out what I hated about, because I would say stuff and people like, yeah, man, that's cool. How are you going to do that? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm just going to go do it. Like I'm on, crack or something. But so to your point though, you do have people like that. And I think the only distinction between the people that I see isn't really that they may not be as motivated, but I'll just be like, man, what do you do now? Like, oh, I'm an executive. I work at X, or I work at this place. Sometimes I'll tell them like, hey, your best bet is to go find somebody doing deals and you just stick to what your job is, put aside some money and maybe partner with those people. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, It really isn't about whether they're not going to do it. It's about whether they really don't have the time to allocate
correct.
What they think looks easy, because it is not easy.
It
takes a lot of work.
Yep.
Right. So, but to answer your question, yeah, I mean, there's people that I listen to and I'm like, as a matter of fact, I did a speaking event or real estate, a REIA group. I told everybody, I was like, hey, raise your hands if you heard me speak already. And then a few guys raise their hands. And I was like, raise your hand if you didn't do a deal over this last X. And they raised the same people raising hands. I was like, you guys just go home. You guys just get your stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, cause you could be spending time with your wife or husband or kids tonight, but you're here and you're not going to get new information. You're not going to do something different. So I'm sure your spouse is mad at you. Just go home.
Exactly.
And people got up and left and they were mad. But
I mean, but I don't think people know statistically only 3% of the people that go to seminars put in the work and do actually what it is they went to go learn, which is insane, but that's
okay.
Number.
Thanks for saying that. And I'll share this because I know we don't have a lot of time left, but I went to a seminar after I did a few deals in the beginning. And then I was sitting in the front and they were like, who did a deal? So I raised my hand. And they were like, who did such and such? I did 3 deals. And I raised my hand. Like, who did 5 deals? And I raised my hand. And then they ran across with a mic runner and gave me the mic. And because I was in the front, I stood up and they were like, tell us about your deal. And I was telling them about it. And then I like handed it back to the mic runner and I turned around to look and no one else was standing up. I had no idea. There was about 500 people there. I had no idea other people weren't doing deals. I really didn't. I thought that even when I had a deal that didn't work out well, I just sucked. I was like, dude, I'm going to suck. Like, everyone's crushing it. Because to your point, you don't really know when somebody's not doing well, especially in real estate back then, because it's not like it was now where everyone all over the internet is bragging about how much they do. Back then, it was like you hide everything. You have an LLC. You have this LLC. You cover it. Yeah. You're covering your tracks because everyone was, they conditioned us to believe that you can get sued.
Correct.
But to that point of that real estate knowledge and going out there, not everyone succeeds in this business. And 3% of people doing good is a lot if you think about it, because that's about right. Because only 3% of your deals you may do are going to be home runs. A lot of them are going to be base hits. Few people are going to succeed at it. But that goes right back to what we said. If you can be somebody who's willing to succeed for yourself and for other people, then go partner with these people. That's the easiest way to get into a deal and not lose ground.
Man, you're hitting everything on the head, man. I always talk about all this stuff on a podcast and
nice.
I really elaborate on it in the Real Estate Investing Diet. So like,
nice.
I appreciate your confirmation. But what I want to ask you is, you got here just like I did through education and going to seminars. I talk about going to seminars all the time. Mm-hmm. What are some books that you can recommend outside of my book? I got to do it, man, because it talks about this. But outside of mine, what books do you recommend that help you get to where you are right now?
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
I mean, you can just give me 2 books. I'll say 2.
Fast Cash with Ron LeGrand. That was my first book. And then the next book, they weren't really books. They were, to your point, I was going to seminars.
Correct. Yep.
So a lot of my books at the time were manuals.
Yes.
So I didn't, everybody says like, rich dad, poor dad, these all these things. But that wasn't really a how to do something. That was an awareness of what not to do. Right.
Yep.
So yeah, man. So I would say that probably your book. I haven't got your book, but I'm going to get it. So I read books on like Steve Schwarzman's book, Whatever It Takes. Like I read Do You by Russell Simmons when I was going through like a rough patch life-wise, but they weren't real estate books, guys. Like at some point, real estate's real estate. There's a lot of mental blocks you got to uncover because everyone's afraid to get it wrong. So correct. To your point, I went to Scott Shields seminar, the Commercial Academy. I went to Dave Lindahl's Apartment House Riches. I was actually a coach for them coaching students on how to buy multifamily, which I'm not a good coach. I'm a doer. But, you know, but because I'm pretty forward and I like people to succeed. So it comes across a little tough. Yeah. And I apologize if that's not a great answer, but.
No, man, it's good. I think the seminars, I always talk about it, man. I 1 year, I think I went 10 to 15 seminars, right? It's because when you don't grow up with this knowledge, you don't get this information, you got to go and figure out where to get it. And most of the time you're in those environments, you surround yourself with like-minded people. So yeah. I think if you're not reading books, I think you need to be hitting different types of seminars. I went to a Millionaire Mind seminar. I went to a real estate seminar. I went to all these different seminars.
That was Millionaire Mind was game changing. I went to Warrior Camp. I went to all that stuff. I did all that stuff too. That actually made my real estate career take off.
Mine too. I did the same thing, man. Everything you just said, I did the same thing. I wrote a book after I left there, the whole thing, man. So I'm a huge proponent
for sure.
Millionaire Mind.
Yeah, we are kindred spirits, man. To your point, man, if you don't know, you don't know. You know, you just assume it's not either not for you or there's some secret. Or when you do hear it, you know, you get excited about it like I did in the beginning. And then I had people that didn't, where they weren't getting the same information as me. And then they made me question it. Like, how's that going to work? Hell, even my own mom, she's like, you just out there taking advantage of people. And I was like, like, you know what I mean? Because I was explaining to her what I was doing and she wouldn't do that. Right. Not the real estate deal, but she wouldn't sell her house that way. Mm-hmm. Right. So naturally, you know, people coach from their own positions. So, you know, they won't do it. They're not going to tell you to go do it. Or, you know, they tried something that didn't work for them. They're going to try to protect you and say, you know what, that doesn't work. Not that it doesn't work, but it didn't work for them, or they quit, or they didn't have enough information or enough runway to be successful in it long enough to be able to finally have a conversation with somebody like we're having today and go, look, we've done it long enough and had enough successes to where we can at least share ups and downs.
So then I know you mentioned a little earlier, this is my last question for you. You said you did a little bit of speaking. Is there any way that people can reach out to you or you know, check you out on social media and see what you got going on?
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Facebook under Victor Bell or Victor Bell Jr. I'm a junior. Or you can go to Instagram at The Real Victor Bell, YouTube at Bell Capital. You know, because YouTube has that YouTube at Bell Capital thing now. LinkedIn, Victor Bell, as well as if they want, you can find me at bell-capital.com. That's our investor website. Google.
Hey, you know, they should also pick up a book.
Yeah, book too. Like, as a matter of fact, if anybody wants to get the book, they can go to bell-capital.com/book. And you can get a digital copy of our book for free there. Yeah. Love to have people. Like I said, right now we're pushing the fund. You know, it's a credited only fund. It's a $50 million fund. We're raising capital and kind of pushing right now. Mm-hmm. Things have slowed down for finding the right deal, especially the size of deals we're looking for in California. Like, they don't trade very often, but when they do, you gotta have a war chest ready and ready to go. And you also need to have the team, the experience and all those people intact, which we do.
Man, Victor. Again, man, thank you. I'm going to bring you back because I know we can dive into some more thorough information that will really benefit people. They should have benefited greatly from this one, but I think we should dive into it more.
Yeah, for sure. And anybody who has any questions, like I said, that you talk to that are like, man, like especially burning questions, like how do you do this? I would love to be back on and you and I just kind of go through like my experience and your experiences, maybe with the same thing. And really drive that home and kind of help people with that. That would be great. I would love to do something like that.
Let's set it up, man.
Okay.
Let's set it up.
Perfect. 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 You let me know and then I'm in. I will make the time.
For sure. I'm going to definitely send you an email after this. Again, man, thank you for coming on, man.
For sure. Hey, thanks so much, Andre, for having me. I really, really appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing for people. Like I said, wish I had access to it when I was younger. And any way I can help out, man, you have me all the time.
Real quick, I will say this. I know I'm trying to get off, but I don't think people understand that when you're dealing with people that have done something for so long, they really want to give the information away for free. Even rich people, like you said, the guy that you called in the phone book, he told you to come into his office. He didn't have to do that, but he saw someone who was hungry, who was interested, and he wanted to give that information away for free. So guys, I want to give it away for free. He's obviously giving it away for free. That's what I think you guys should look into. So next time when we run it back, man, I think you guys should tune in.
Yes. Love to have you guys. Thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Vic. Take care.
Yeah, take care.
Aren't you ready to start a business or grow your real estate investing portfolio? If you answered yes, allow Andre and the expert advisors at the Residual Roads Business Institute to fast track and put you on a path to full-time investing.
The greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime is occurring over the next few years, and you can take advantage if you know what to look for. In order to be successful at real estate investing, you need to learn how to leverage your current resources to generate quick money, big money, and retirement money. Let Residual Roads advisors craft a plan to get you through these phases using little or no money in 6 months or less. Don't wait for a job. Create one for yourself and others. Go to residualroads.com for mentorship, and for our free course, go to residualroads.thinkific.com.